Okay, a few things about Rosh Hashanah. First and foremost is that you will not find anywhere in the Torah Shebichsav that it's a Yom Adin. The Torah kept that hidden, only revealed to Am Yisrael who have the Torah Shebaal Peh, even though the Torah Shebichsav was meant for us also, but you know, the Goyim stole it, and it was always that risk, because it's in scrolls, it's in books. You know, it's something that, even though it's pivotal for anyone who dwells on Earth, you know, because the whole reality is renewing, and the whole reality is on trial, but the Torah kept that very, very fundamental message hidden in the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's something to think about. You know, it's interesting to note that the Rambam, in his Yad HaChazaka, in his Code of Law, followed the lead of the Torah, and in his Hilchos Shofar, will not mention anything about it being a Yom Adin. You know, where he mentions that it's Yom Adin, he writes in Hilchos Tshuva. He mentions it in the third Perek. It's interesting that, you know, he... there's Rosh Hashanah the Yom Tov, which is if you just read the Chumash, you get that feeling, and then you know Al Pi the Torah Shebaal Peh, what's behind the scenes, you get the realization that it's a Yom Adin. It's all true to form, you know. Paralleling this, we have a discussion in the Poskim about crying on Rosh Hashanah. There's on the one hand, there's the famous Pasuk in Nehemiah, that Nehemiah consoled the people on Rosh Hashanah and told them, Ichu mashmaim, go home, have a big Suda, ki chedvas Hashem ma'uzchem, Hashem simcha, you know, stand strong by you. And based on that Pasuk in Nehemiah, you know, there's some Poskim that, you know, warn us that you know it's a Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cry, you're not allowed to be bitsar. Right? And yet, they also bring from the Ari HaKadosh on the other side that anyone who doesn't cry on Rosh Hashanah has a rotten neshama. Nafsho lo tova. If a person can't, you know, bring out any tears on Rosh Hashanah, there's something wrong with him.
Who's saying that?
The Ari HaKadosh. There's also, you know, what we do, you know, on Leil Rosh Hashanah, and it's from the Gemara. You know, this the simanim that we do is ancient. It's from the Talmud. It's not a it got expanded over the years, and everyone invented their own, and you know, whatever. But the original idea of the simanim that we eat on Leil Rosh Hashanah is a Gemara. You know, and it's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara derives it from something that also has to do with Rosh Hashanah. Right? It's not a Gemara, by the way, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It's a Gemara, I believe. It's elsewhere in Shas talking about the sugya of coronating kings, which happens to, as you can make the connection yourself, we coronate our Kodesh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. So there was a custom that they would coronate a king by a flowing river. Right? You know, it should be a siman that his malchus should be ongoing and flowing for all generations. So the Gemara says, Hashtas Shaminan Simanim Milsa. Now that we see from this that making a siman is meaningful, therefore, be careful what you eat on the night of Rosh Hashanah. And it gives you know, some of the simanim that the Sfardim do, you know, which, like I said, over the years, everyone added their own. But it's an ancient minna. It's you know from the Gemara already. I understand what that means. Simonim, and it has to do something with it was derived from a custom they had by coronating kings. It definitely tightens the connection to Rosh Hashanah. We'll have to research what that is.
So does the Gemara itself talk about the Simani Milso, or just says, be careful what you do?
No, it says, gives a few examples of some of the things that, the Svardim are makbid on again. It gives a few examples. That's therefore, Simani Milso, that's where it comes from. It's from a Gemara. It's not a minhag that arose, in the last few hundred years. It's from the Gemara itself.
The simanim that we do don't seem to have anything about coordinating kin.
It's derived. It was derived. They because they learned it out from there. Since he's the coronate kings by a flowing river, therefore we see Simana Milsa. It says that the Simon has what the Chag is called in the Chumash is Yom HaZikaron. In one place, Zichron Trua Yelachem. In another place, it's called Yom Trua. So, Chazal took the from the pasuk Zichron Trua, and decided that's what they're going to call the holiday, and that's what it is in the Nusach HaTfila, Kadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. And therefore, also, they were metakin for us, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. And Zichronos, Kidei Shiala Zichronechem Lefanai L'Toiva. Of course, we should remember us for the good. What does that mean? He doesn't forget anything. As we say ourselves also, Ein Shichlof Nekisei Kvodecha. It's not saying he's reminding him. He doesn't forget. So, to crack that open, the Gemara talks about the issue whether you could put gold on the shofar, decorate it with gold. And the Gemara equates it to the problem of, the Kohen Gadol, when he walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wears only white. He doesn't wear gold. And one of the reasons is, Ein Kateger Nase Sanega, what prosecutes against you cannot speak in your defense, and the gold, as it were, reminds of the sin of the golden calf. And therefore, it's one of the reasons why the Torah said, when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not with gold, only white. So the Gemara, says maybe, perhaps, the same idea applies to shofar. So the Gemara asked a question like this. Well, we see that the problem is only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because the Kohen Gadol all year long, works with big days of. Yeah. So you see, only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's a problem. We don't blow shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says like this, Shofar kevon de lezikaron ka'asi kilifnim dami. Since it's coming lezikaron, it's like inside. It's like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's an amazing Gemara.
Could mean like it's coming inside.
It's like walking inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kilifnim dami. It's like going lifnai v'lifnim.
Can you
quote that again?
Yes, it's Gemara Mirashana. Kevan de la Zikaron Ka'asi, since it's coming for the Zikaron, Kilifnim Dami, it's like inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. Something about reality itself and the human condition. Pasuk says, Hashem b'chachma yasad eretz konein shamayim b'tzvuna b'da'at hotamos nivku. Hashem with wisdom found the earth, and with understanding he upheld the sky, and with knowledge he broke open the depths. Akharish Baruch Hu has plans for the world. You know, it was not done by happenstance. It was with Chochma, Bina, and Das, a tremendous amount of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that reality was fashioned. Right? And Sof Maaseh B'machshava Tchila. As a matter of fact, the last thing in action, the end goal, was the first thing in mind. Right? The world has a very much a thought dimension to it. There was a great deal of planning that went into it. And the physical reality is to execute those plans, implement those plans. There's the thing. And the truth is, this is what it means. Ola b'machshava, liboros b'midas hadin, rosh eno miskayim, shitifim b'midas harachamim b'ra'ah. Kodesh Baruch Hu thought, creating the world with din. Right? He saw it won't last that way. He added rachamim and created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. No. The world was first created in thought and then in action. First in thought and then in action. There was first a whole plan, a whole blueprint, and a whole structure. And then there was like playing by those rules. You know, building based on those rules. So now there's an amazing Rabbeinu Tam. It's a Tosfos. Tosfos asked the following question. You know, they used the piyutim of Rabbi Lazar HaKalir. You have any piyutim from him? Now, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. When the world was created. Well, what season was it when the world was created? Was it Tishrei or was it Nisan? Machlokas Rabbi Lazar Bishua. And Rabbi Lazar HaKalir in his piyutim, you know, so when his piyutim for the month of Tishrei, yeah, this is the month of creation, yeah. And his piyutim for Nisan, you know, so this is the month of creation. And he plays both sides of the issue. Right. So, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, that Elu Velu Divro Kim Chaim, Betishrei Ola B'machshava Liboros V'lo Bra Ela Ad Nisan. Right. They're both right. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar clearly knew that they're both right. In Tishrei, the world was created in thought. But physical reality came into being in Nisan. Now, when you create something in thought, that means you plan it. Now, planning is all din. Because you're making decisions. You're ruling out from infinite possibilities. It should only be this and this and has to be done this way. Planning is all legislating. Now, eliminating certain possibilities. Not that, not this. And like this. And this long and... That's all structure, plans. All right. However, physical reality, you know, life never works out according to plan. You have to add flexibility for everything you do, especially construction. Right?
But you would think not Hashem.
Right. No, because he designed our world on purpose that it works the way it works. That's why our world works that way. Our world works that way by design, that you always have to add flexibility. Because he designed it that way. All right? And that's what it means. Ola b'machshava liboros b'midas hadin. Because that planning is din. You can't have fuzzy plans. You've got to have some concrete plans. And you have to be, definite numbers, definite structure. Oh, it's not a plan. It's just a dream. Life never, really keeps up. Physical reality always lags behind. Right? So you have to be flexible if you want this project to come to fruition. No flexibility, forget it. Nothing works out. Nothing works out in life without any flexibility. So that's what it means. All b'machshali baros midas adin. You know, because when the world was created, b'machshava. Right? So that's din. Deciding, you know, what reality has to look like, what the possibilities are, where, what the plan is, where it's got to go, where destiny's got to reach. That's all din. That's all setting up a structure. But then the Ribon Shalom, knowing the weakness of the flesh, and the flesh will be weak by design, you know, because there has to be free will and has to be a little bit of a struggle in order to get paid for it. So he adds rachamim accordingly. And that's the difference between Nisan, rather I'll start to call it Tishrei and Nisan. All right. And you know what it's like? It's like the emergence of the human being himself. Right? First conception. Right? And then how it gestates in the womb and is actually born. At the moment of conception, concept, everything about that kid has already been set. You know, the genetic map has been set. At what age he'll start going bald, it's right there. It's there at that time. And now that Chazal knew that, the Gemara says in Nida, that at the time of conception, a Malach Laila Shema brings the drop in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who asks, you know, he's going to be smart, he's going to be stupid, everything. Everything gets locked at them, except for Tzaddik in Russia. Except where they'll be, because that's up to free will. But everything other than that, how intelligent and what, it's all locked in right there. Right, but that's in concept. And that's why it's called Hirayon Miloshen Hirhur. The idea. The thought. Right? And the gestation period in a thing called a Rechem, the womb, right? That's what allows the plan to unfold. The genome, that encoding now, sorry, and the Rechem is Shitifim Midas Rachamim, right? And allows it to form, you know, the plan to unfold and become physical reality. Right. So now take a look. You know, a pregnancy could be, Chazal tell us, 7 months. Right? From conception to birth, you know, it could be 7 or 9, one or the other. Okay. So, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Adar, Nisan. Right? Concept is set. The conception is on Rosh Hashanah. The birth is on. Birth is on Nisan. And you know that this is true. Because on Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Baruch Hu decides how much crops, how much prosperity, and you know. And then comes in winter, everything's in hiatus. Right? And then in spring, Chodesh Aviv is when everything that you got promised on Rosh Hashanah starts blooming and coming out. And this is the secret, what Chazal say, that in Rosh Hashanah, Nifkedu Haimos, they got pregnant on Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's the, and it's like we say in our tefillah, Hayom Haras Olam. This dead world is conceived. Haras Olam.
Wasn't Yitzchak born on Pesach? Like,
right? Yeah, Nifkedu.
So that was also 7 months.
Yes. So, now in the human being also, not just in his development like we just described, but even, you know, in the course of his life, the Chovas HaLevavos, in his monumental introduction, talks about that we have two different types of obligations. Chovas HaEvarim and Chovas HaLevavos. There's my introduction that, you know, There's what you do with your arms and legs, tzitzis, tefillin, lulav. All actions. Right? But then there's chovos halavavos, duties of the heart. They have to do with man's inner world. Right? What do you believe in? What do you value? Right? And that's what you're saying, that he's the first to, right? He says that his contemporary lived in the end of the era of the Gaonim. They started writing halachas for him. They've all been, everyone until now has been dealing with chovos ha'ivorim, the duties of the limbs. I'm going to deal with chovos halavavos, the duties of the heart. Right? What we have to believe in. Character refinement. Values. Right? You understand yourself that there could be what the words of the Ramban, a novel Bereshus HaTorah. This would be a total degenerate and totally decrepit and corrupt character, and still technically keep all the mitzvahs.
We always had Maseches Avos. I mean, we still had value. That's always developed in
Mishnah
times.
I mean, yeah, just like, yeah, that's what he's saying. But it wasn't written up as a code of law somehow. He's writing up a code of law on Chovos HaLevavos. So the being Makaba Kosh Baruch Hu is a melech. Kosh Baruch Hu liba boy, he wants the heart. Just doesn't want a robotic obedience of the laws that he, decreed upon us. He gets that anyway, because there's no thwarting his will. He gets that anyway. Right? And that getting it anyway is called, getting it anyway is called a moshel. He's like a governor, a dictator. Right? Right. Ki la shem ha-melucha u moshel bagoyim. So we'll talk about first the second half of the pasuk. U moshel bagoyim. The goyim can't do anything he doesn't want. They might think they're doing their own thing, but that's just what they think. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moshel. Right? So even the goyim who do not acknowledge him as being the melech, he's still moshel upon them. But a melech, as opposed to a moshel, has that the people are accepting of him with love. He's not a dictator. He's there's a relationship there that the people willingly and lovingly accept upon themselves what the king wants. So it comes out like this: the real difference between melech and moshel is all in the heart. You're dealing with, a God of infinite power that gets whatever he wants anyway. So he's moshel. And there are many other psukim. You take a look. If you ever take analytically a look, any time that the Tanakh is talking about moshel, see, it applies to Jew and Goy alike. Malchus, melech, is only by Am Yisrael. Yes, that's where Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz. Yes. Yes. problem is they'll have gotten in too late, so it can't be called that there is, you know, it's real people. But yes, in the future they'll acknowledge. But our point is like this, you know, the difference between Melech and Moshe, when you're dealing with a God of infinite power, is all a difference in the heart. But there's something deeper here. I'm sure you're already getting the direction that Rosh Hashanah is all about what's going on in thought and in heart. And that's why, you know, it's not in the Torah Shebichsav, it's in the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's in the brains of Torah. And the hidden away in the dimensions of meaning, not in the revealed psukim that anyone could see. So what's going on, just like thoughts are hidden. That's man's inner world. All right. And we mentioned the world has its thought dimension. And those are called the inner chambers of reality. Just like man's thoughts are his inner world. There's the inner chambers of reality. But there's something, you know, deeper here. See, by us, you know, whether it's our own plans or whether it's the plans of a governing body, you know, the laws of a governing body, it seems there's two different things. There's what you want, is what you plan, and then there's life, and the two are not one and the same, and that's why you don't get your way. Right? And you know, same thing with the law of, you know, the governing body, you know, there's reality, then there's the laws that they dump on us, they're not one and the same. And that's why, you know, you can either violate the law, or you can make a revolution and totally overthrow that governing body. Right? That's not Shaykh by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By him, you know, because it's not just because he's of infinite power. It's deeper than that. All right, the plans that he has for reality are reality itself, reality branched out from there. And it's just like the metaphor we gave from conception. It's like a child branched out from that original concept. Reality branches out from his plans. There's no... it's not, you know, that, you know, there's his law and it's imposed upon reality. That's the way it is by the governing bodies that we have to deal with. You know, they impose their rule upon us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his law is life. His law is life. And there's something which we covered in Derech Hashem, that the... for the purpose of giving us the greatest goodness, right? He made us work for it. So that the whole presence of Midas Hadin was part of the Ratzon Lehetiv. He created the world Bedin, you know, for our good, for our good. And as we learned, you know, the laws of the Torah actually keep the world going. It's not artificially imposed on reality. These laws sustain life. The mitzvahs, you know, are in sync with these laws, and they reinforce reality. Right? When you do averus, we learned, reality is adversely affected. Because God's law is life itself. So to uphold the law is to strengthen reality. To violate the law is to weaken reality. It's not superimposed on reality, it is reality. And all those laws that were legislated for our benefit. Because without law, there's no structure. And without law, there's nothing that you can do to ever be virtuous. You are virtuous because you did you kept the law. Or you did lifnim mishur, you did even more than the law. If there's no such thing as law, there's no such thing as virtue. No such thing as earning. Right? So his whole, you know, midas hadin, right, is the midas hadin of giving structure and creating the rules that we live by that allow us to earn our perfection, earn merit. And that's why, you know, it's when by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, din and rachamim are not opposites. To us it may seem that way, but it's not. Because if you made a plan, right, whatever the project was, and you're not going to be flexible, you might as well take that plan and rip it up and throw it in the garbage. You want the plan to go to action. So as the planning shouldn't be levatola, should be for no reason, right? So you understand you have to add flexibility. So the adding of flexibility is a hemshah of the rutzen to create.
What's hemshah?
It's a continuation. It's a process. Din from rachamim is not to switch sides. Going from din to rachamim is a process, like going from conception to birth.
Right. Are you saying it enables the process? Rachamim enables the process.
Yes, yes. And since the rotzen is to create, so the driving force that originally caused the olah b'machshavah midas hadin is the same driving force that will push it to go to rachamim. The person is unaccepting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din. Right. Views it as, cramps his style. You know, gets in his way. Right. So, the problem is that he is positioning himself in an oppositional relationship with Midas HaDin. And therefore, because that's how you're positioning things, that's how things are being postured, right? So of course, the minister is going to eliminate you because you've decided to face off that way and to make it confrontational. Right? But a person who understands that the Ribbono Shel Olam's din, his law is life, his law is life itself, he and the Midas Din are working together. Just, well, listen, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm just a little bit slow, But we're on the same side. So the Midas HaDin itself says, all right, I dictate life. And you have the Midas HaDin working with you, for you. Right? That was the whole reason why the Midas HaDin was used and implemented in creating the world. Like we learned in Ramchal, that we shouldn't be getting it bitstaka. It should be earned. It should really belong to us. Right? As it were, law dictates, right, that we should become immortal. Law dictates that we should be davik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, let's just illustrate this a little bit more. Like, let's say for 20 years, a person gave you a ride to work because they're next door neighbor going the same direction. Now after 20 years, I said, look, I'm retiring, and I sold my car. I can't give you that ride anymore. Scream at them. I've been counting on you for 20 years. Now, you sold your car without asking me first. What? Can you complain? Can't complain. Right? It was a favor. There's no chiyuv, there's no obligation in a favor. But if you even gave them 25 cents for the once a year for the service, technically, whatever, you'll take it to my Besdin, we'll discuss it. But technically, there's breach of contract. Mm. It's breach of contract. He paid for a service, even if it was a great deal. Nonetheless, it's a breach of contract. If the Ribbono Shel Olam, you try to imagine this, you know, that, you know, since God can do anything, right, why don't you just create the world only with the Midas HaChesed? A world with no din is a world that doesn't have to exist tomorrow. There's no chiv, there's no obligation. Don't you understand that that which it starts off with planning bedin, that's what gives strength and stability. A world of chesed doesn't owe you anything. You never earned anything. Sun doesn't have to rise tomorrow. Will sun rise tomorrow? Why are you so sure? Because there are laws of nature. Where do those laws come from? From Midas Adin. In Chesed, there are no laws. We'll be able to expect the sun to rise tomorrow.
So why are we so afraid then of din versus, and we, you know, we ask
Hashem. It's a different type of fear. And that's what we're trying to explain. And I neglected to mention this medrash. I'll mention it now. The Tur brings it. It's halacha lemaase. It's a medrash. You know, talking the difference between Am Yisrael and a goy. You know, the goy has to go to court from the king. You know, it's ois mensch. You know, he doesn't take a shower for a week before, and he goes in or looking like a wreck. You know, he's like sick with worry. And Am Yisrael, we go into din. Pekarish Baruch Hu. Dressed well, washed, haircut, shaven. That says, Megulachin. It's right, Jews used to shave. Right, this matter is one of the sources. No one seems overly worried. Right, we mentioned before what the Poskim say, based on that Pasuk in the Chemish, shouldn't cry. Now we're going to make it a little bit more specific and get down to the depth of the matter. Right? Because the truth is like this. When you and the Midas HaDin are on the same side and you genuinely are the Kabbalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a king, right? Then you have nothing to fear from the Midas HaDin. But it doesn't mean it's not hard work. Right? First of all, hard work to be sincere in... You're being Mekabah Karshku as a Melech, and also you say, we brought someone on your side. Okay, do your job. Right? You accept the job with all its consequences. Right? Okay, it's a job with all its consequences. It's not easy. It's work. It's Avodas HaMelech. Right? But it has its rewards. But it's a job, and you have to remain qualified. Make sure you don't get fired. Right? But this is the amazing mystery of the Nusach HaTfila of Rosh Hashanah. You're on trial. Now, the trial's then, not on Yom Kippur. Trial's on Rosh Hashanah. Not a single word of begging for forgiveness. No vidui. You know, this is the time, you know. Yeah. You're on trial. It's the day of the trial, not a word of begging forgiveness. Why is it? Because it's not a time to say sorry. It's a time to declare allegiance. Where are you in all this? What's your position in reality? On the map of reality, where are you? With God or against? Who are you? Where do you belong? And that's what it means. You know, there's a Gemara that says an amazing thing. It makes no sense. Right? Right? It says that, you know, Ein Doros Olam Basher Husham. Shnema Vaishma Kimis Akola Nar Basher Husham. Learn out from Yishmol. The judgment on you is the way you are at that moment. That's crazy. Everyone could just, you know, hold it in, you know, for 48 hours. Right? What's the legitimacy in that? That the din is just the way you are in Rosh Hashanah. Because the main avodah Rosh Hashanah. So, where are you? Who are you? Where is your allegiance? Right? You just say sorry means you're just in it for yourself. Right? You want to have a good year. it's not about that. It's about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look up, as it were, in his dictionary, Naaseh Adam B'Tzalmenu Kedmusenu, will your picture be there? That's what it's about. Right? When he planned the world, right? Do you fit into that plan? Do you have roots there in that plan that he had for reality? That's what you're being judged on. And that's what you have 48 hours to prove. Right? You're with him. He's your king. Whatever the consequence are, whatever the price is, you're with him. You and the Midas Adin are in the same direction. And then you have the Midas Adin with you, not against you. Right? And only Am Yisrael understands this. All the other Goyim view God as a dictator. And his law is anti-life, cramps their lifestyle. Right? Right? Am Yisrael is the one that, you know, has been privileged to know from the Torah Shebaal Peh that it's a Yom HaDin. And for the purpose of redeclaring their allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being king. Right? And finding our place in those thoughts and in those plans that he had for creation, that one of the very first thoughts he had in mind, Bereshis, Bishul Yisrael, Shenikru Reshis, can we find ourselves there? Do we have a root up there in those thoughts of God, the thoughts that he had for creation? And that's what it means. It's Yom HaZikaron. Shehalas Zichronechem Lefanai L'Toiva. Finding your place in God's thoughts. Not that he forgot. He doesn't forget anything. But Zikaron means, you know, to be connected to his thoughts. You have a place there. Zikaron doesn't just mean, as it were, recall. Pasuk says, Haben Yakir Li Ephraim, Im Yelad Shashuim, Ki Midei Dabri Bo, Zohar Eskarenu Od. He says, I remember, I'm talking about Ephraim. Yeah, nothing, not aware. But I talk about Zohar Eskarenu Od. I remember, Al Kain Homu Me'ai Lo, Rachem Arachameno. Right? But it's more than just it. Not even forgotten about him. Feel the roots that he's in my thought, rooted in my plan for the universe, means remembered. And therefore, Rachem Arachameno. A simon, you know, in halacha, where simonim come up, is about staying connected. Like an aveda that has simonim, it never lost its connection to its owner. Right? That's why. Also, halacha, I'm not allowed to take it for myself. It hasn't lost its connection to its owner, since it could still be identified. Where you find a simonim, any sugya of simonim is all talking about identification. Like simonim on a corpse. So you could identify who it is and, you know, and therefore be mater's wife to remarry. Simonim is all about identification and keeping a connection. And I go back to the depth of that Gemara over there, right? That when they coronated a king, they did it by a brook, you know, flowing water. That his kingdom should be ongoing, unbroken. Right? Right. The Ribon Shalom's being a melech, right, is the very law that gives life itself. The very law that gives life itself. Like we explained, God's law and God's kingdom is not something imposed on reality. That's the way it is by earthly kings. That's why it could be a revolution to overturn him. He might be better off without him. Right? God's law and God's kingdom is life itself. Right? And we have to make sure to keep that connection going. And Malchei Yisrael, right, that are representative of God's kingdom, so that's by a brook. Keep the connect. Never get disconnected. Because to lose connection with God's mouth, to lose connection with life itself. It's, you know, It should be ongoing. And then, so now, so the Gemara says, now do we see from Kings, Simon and Milsa. All right? So therefore, what we, Leil Rosh Hashanah. All right? We have to be careful what we eat. And we eat the Simonim. The Simonim are all about this idea, staying connected. Staying connected. Making sure, you know, we renew our connection and we make sure, take steps to stay identified, stay branded, right? That this connection should be ongoing and unceasing. Got to keep the connection for the whole year. Right. And that's what the shofar is all about. In Hilchos shofar, right? There's two types of sounds. Just we have a suffix about the second type, what it's supposed to sound like, right? But it's tkiah and trua. Right, just we have a suffix whether the trua is like the trua that we say, or trua is really shvarim, right? Or shvarim trua, and so we blow all of them. But you know, by halacha, you know, halacha, there's only two types of sounds, tkiah and trua. You know what these terms mean? Right, tkiah means to be stuck, like. To fasten something with nails is also called litkoa, to be affixed. Trua means to, miloshen hisorus, to awaken. Now, the avoda that there is on Rosh Hashanah is dual. Right. We have to wake up. Trua. Yom Trua Yalachem. That's what the Rambam writes. It's Hilchos Tshuva. Even though Shofar is a Gzeiras HaKasuv, there's a Remez. Uru Yeshenem Mishnaschem. To wake up. To remember. We've been sleepwalking all year long. We have to remember who we are. God's chosen people, God's nation. Right. To wake up and remember who we are. And you understand that's all, you know, in the heart. It's a wake up, you know, realization. Who am I? Where do I belong? Who do I belong to? And then there's tkiah, to be firmly affixed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Firmly affixed to his plan for creation, that when he planned Naaseh Adam, right, we already know it got whittled down to Am Yisrael alone. You have to make sure you're also there. At least in your heart. At least in your heart, at least with in your allegiance. And if you are really there with your heart and your allegiance, then that's already enough to be, you know, position yourself that you and God's kingdom are on the same page, in the same direction. And then the Midas Din is not against you. The Midas Din is going to work for you because you're according to plan. The plan wants to come to fruition. So the plan itself will push for you.
Wouldn't you have to wake up first to figure that second piece out as to where you belong?
That's what we do during Elul. The initial awakening as it comes to full fruition and a concrete declaration on Rosh Hashanah. Right? And that's what it means. Right? The shofar kevan de lezikaron ka'asi kilifnim dami. That Gemara. The shofar comes to as it were. It comes for zikaron, a reminder of Baruch Hashem. So it's like inside the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's an amazing thing. All right. That in our minds and in our hearts, with the blowing of the shofar, and that's why shofar, it says this in the Zohar, it's beyond words. Right? It's a declaration from the depth of the heart. Beyond words. More than words could capture. The shofar is more reminiscent of thought than of speech. Pure sound. You know, how do you tell if a person's sincere or not? Right? Tone of voice. Tone. Everyone could say, technically say, two people could say the exact same words, you know, nice words, you know, by their dictionary definition. Detect the threatening tone or the cynical tone or, you know, the tone, the coil, is where the heart really is and what you're really thinking, what you're really feeling. You picked it up not by the words, you picked it up by the tone. And that's what the shofar is. The tone that belies, you know, yes, reveals the depth of what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Right? And we're matching our inner world with God's inner world. What's in our heart, where our heart is, where our direction is, you know, matching that, you know, with the inner chamber of reality, you know, where the whole plan for the Bria is. Say, we're with the program. Look up Nase Adam over there in the plan. Not see yourself there. And that's what it means, Kilifnim Dami. Because even though the body stays on earth, the mind and heart go up with the Kol HaShofar to Yale Zirchonechem Lefonai L'Toiva. Find our place in God's plans. We are according to plan. At least we plan to be according to plan. And that's all the Ribon Shel Olam demands from us. And then, and that just changes the whole direction. It's amazing, the Medrash. The Medrash says, Bonai, if shiparte ma'aseichem, if you improve your deeds, harei na'aseichem k'shofar hazeh, I will be just like this shofar. Ma shofar, machnis bezu u'motzi bezu, Afani omed mikisei adin v'yoshev al kisei rachamim, vofech lachem es midas adin l'midas rachamim. Just like shofar, you blow in one end, and the sound comes out the other end. So also, I'm going to get up from the kisei adin and sit on kisei rachamim and turn the midas adin into midas rachamim. It's not symmetrical. Shofar, you blow in here, because it's like a continuum. Over here, talking about switching sides. You know, getting up from kisei adin and sitting on kisei rachamim. Right? But it's not that way, like we explained. It's a continuum. It's mamish. Machnis bezu, you know, but machnis, in. What's going on inside your heart? Bifnim, machnis. What's going on? Right? Right? So when we are committed in our hearts to be oivid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And we're with the Midas Adin, no matter what the consequence, we accept the mission, we accept the responsibility, we're with you, we're not against you. We're not trying to placate you. We want to work for you. Not placate you. Work for you. Right? So, you know, the din itself wants to and gets transferred into rachamim. You know, because like every plan wants to come to fruition. So, but machnis bezu, what are you going to invest? What's going on inside? That if on the inside you're a makaba kodesh baruch hu as a melech, no matter what the consequences are, it's just an honor to be his subject and to work for him, no matter what the consequences will be. So then that naturally leads into rachamim, because you're with the plan. The plan works for you also. So also the Kisei Adin becomes the Kisei Rachamin, and the Midas Adin gets converted. But Machnis Bezu Umotzi Bezu, right? You have to, you know, invest and, you know, on the inside, be totally committed, and then on the outside, it's Kulo Rachamin. And that's why you can understand, right, that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin only on the inside, only in the Torah Shebaal Peh. You wouldn't see it in the Torah Shebachsav, right? Where it's brought down that you should cry, right? It's during Tekiah Shofar. That's what the, that's, you know, we've mentioned from the Ari, it is appropriate to cry, but that's by Tekiah Shofar. That's where we're going into, you know, the inner chambers of reality. With our hearts, we go into its parallel place in the cosmos, declaring, you know, that we'll be better from now on, right? And that's not the external crying of pain. It's not a cry of being a baby, you know. You're not comfortable. It's a different type of crying. A crying that comes from the depth of the heart. It's an expression of yearning that the Torah didn't outlaw. The Torah outlawed, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, the external crying of being uncomfortable, right? Being distraught. You know, that has no place on the Yom Tov, right? So Rosh Hashanah is in and out. On the in, it's Midas Adin, and it's a time for crying, but crying that also, everything from the in, from the depth of the heart, not, you know, the crying of a baby. And on the outside, how people are dressed and how people eat and eat too much, you know, it's all Yom Tov. Because the din is on the inside. That's the Ola B'machshava. But when you reconcile with it, the only thing that comes out is Rachamim. But that's when you work with it, not work against it. You align yourself with it. Connect. And that's what it says in all the Sfarim, that the... Tkia, Trua Tkia. Kereget Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov. Chesed, Din, and then Rachamim. But you know what's Kereget? It's also Kereget the very creation of the world that we learned about. There was first the Rotzen Lehetiv, just the pure will to do good. And then Akash Hu says, okay, but there's got to be structure. Not goodness if there's no plan. Not goodness if there's no structure. Not goodness if there's no goal. Not goodness if you can't earn it and make it really yours. So then all of B'machsholi Baros B'midas Adin. But of course, you know, that should not be for naught. Shitom Midas Rachamim Ubra, that Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov really was a recreation of the world, and we may have spoken about this in the past. And that's what Tkiah Shvarim, or Trua, Tkiah is. The original Ratzon Lehetiv. And then, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, for our own good, and for the good of the world, you know, makes plans bedin, that there should be a clear structure, and a clear goal, and a clear plan, and gives us the ability to participate, and earn, and be virtuous. And then Shitiv Mamidas Arachamim, right? But what we got to do on this day, right, is get reconciled. You know, that have it clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's law is life itself. Right? No, let's go in order. First of all, he's our only king. And not Hillary and not Donald. No one else will help us, and no one else, yeah. We have nowhere else to turn. The world has nowhere else to turn, right? Ein lanu melech ela ata. But then there's, you know, further understanding that his malchus is you know, not only is he the only king, right? But his malchus is life itself. There's no other option. There's no one else. Not only there's no one else to work for. It's more than that. There's no other life. There's no other reality other than his kingdom is life itself, right? And his law and his order, you know, as difficult as it might be to uphold, there is no other life. There is no other reality. Right? The Goyim don't want to understand that. And it's not their place anyway, so it wasn't revealed to them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to be moishel on them, and they continue to always view themselves as victims of God. Right? Am Yisrael, who was chosen, understand that his law is life itself. And that's what the pasuk says. Ashrei am yodei trua. Hashem b'or panecha yahalechun. Right? Fortunate is the am that knows trua. Right? And there are many pshatim you could say. First of all, if Baruch Hashem, we know how to awaken ourselves before it's too late. Right? But Yodei Truah, right? We know that the Truas Melech, right? You know, the trumpets of the king. We know, we're the ones who are privileged to know. Right? That's life itself. That's not something to skirt around. That's not something to negotiate with. Not something to placate. It's life itself. Yodeya, Yodei, Yodei, Loshen connection. Like Adam Yodas Chavishto. We're connected to God's reign, to His law. We don't view it as a damper. We view it as the source of our life. You know, we're the chosen people because of it. Because you know, we're players on that law. Right? And that's Hashem Ba'or Panecha Yalechun. We go with God's light. For Him, His law is the light that shines our path. Hashem Ba'or Panecha, that's what it means. The Dover Hashem Ori. Ori Barash Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of light. Just like light was the way you know existence started. God's law is it's the light of our eyes. Right? What we walk by and what we see and what we're always looking towards. And that's what we say, Ad Shetotzi Ka'or Mishpateinu. Right? Bring out our adjustment, just like light. Right? We view Rebosham's justice as life itself, not anti-life. It is life. It is life. Decrease life. Life is backed up, not destroyed by Midas. Life is backed up by Midas HaDin. Backed up by Midas HaDin. That's why the life, that's why the Jewish people is going to be the eternal nation that will never die. We're backed by Midas HaDin. That's why we're going to be the eternal nation. We're going to be immortal, live forever. Backed by Midas HaDin. All right, and that's the avodah on this day. All right, that should help, you know, that if you go in the order, right, you're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Right, and then, you know, accept Him as unconditionally as your king. Then, zichronos, then we, with that, you've put your heart in the right place, and at least you matched up your thoughts with His plans. Your plans with His plans. Ubama uba shofar, and with what? With the shofar, that you know, with the shofar is the means to make this expression in a way that's really coming from the heart. Words don't necessarily come from the heart. Right? But the tone is, you know, what is reflective, you know, of the depth of what Am Yisrael feels, what they call the pintel yid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the shofar is the means to express that. The expression of that, you know, that our depth of heart, in lanu melech ala ata, that Am Yisrael, you know, as just lev echod, like one heart, just for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the shofar as the vehicle to bring that out and to, you know, impact reality, right? Generally, that nekuda remains hidden, because it is hidden. It's in the depth of the world of thought, innermost thoughts. Right? Hidden, just like innermost thoughts. Like all thoughts are hidden in general, let alone in one of our hearts. The gift of the shofar is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a vehicle where that inner commitment can have an expression come out and impact reality, right? And reaffirm and reaffix ourselves to God's plans for the universe. And once we're on the same page, the Ribbono Shel Olam will be geyser. Gzeiros Tovus and the Koch of the Midas Adin will decree Chaim Tovim Yemal Hashem Kol Mishal Sivchem L'Tovah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
How